Well, good morning. Well, it is almost Thanksgiving. We're that close. I'm pretty excited. Last year at this time, I was Jefferson City frantically packing, trying to get here. So I missed the All Unity Thanksgiving Eve service. And of course, I didn't make it. I stayed there to continue to pack. So I didn't get Thanksgiving really. So this year I am thrilled. I'm going to have Thanksgiving at my house. I would say I was cooking, but I am cooking some, but it's more like a potluck. You know, everybody's bringing things, so we're all kind of pitching in. I'm excited about that. It's wonderful. And it's a traveling weekend. I know a lot of people travel during this weekend, so we've got some people that are gone from here. But just curious, how many of you are cooking, having family over to your house? Just a few, yeah, a few. It's just wonderful, you know, to be able to do this. I thought that it might be a great opportunity to make this kind of an interactive talk today instead of just me, you know, all the time. On and on and on. I thought, this time, why don't we share our grateful experiences? So what I'd like to do, I have some questions, a few little quotes that I'd like to share with you, but I would like to invite you to be thinking of what you're grateful for. And Bernetta has a microphone, so when you have something to share, if you just raise your hand, she'll give you the microphone. If you would wait to talk, though, until you get the microphone, then the recording won't have these big spaces of silence. And so the first thing I would like for you to consider is, and you might even want to kind of not completely go into a meditative state, but just a quietness, go within for a moment and think about what is the one thing that you are most grateful for at this point in your life. And when you're ready, go ahead and raise your hand.
I am most grateful for finding unity, because before that, I really pictured God, like a lot of people do, I'm sure, being out there somewhere. And so finding that God's with me all the time through anything has just made such a difference in my life that I'm forever grateful. And for my family, naturally.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm most grateful for my family. My mother, who is 97, and she's been in the hospital 5 times this year, and she's doing wonderful right now. And my brother, who is from Atlanta, is here in town, and I'm so happy about that. My sister was here last week for a week, and I'm just grateful for my family. My children are doing great. My grandchildren are doing great, and I'm so thankful.
Thank you.
I'm grateful for Thomas, my husband.
I am grateful for all of my family, my family and Unity family, and I am very thankful. That's close to my heart is my son's healed mind, and I just thank and praise God for all things.
Thank you.
Okay, I stood up, but anyway.
You are welcome.
I need to stand up because I have to share something with you. That this is really, Bernetta talks about this. We know that there is divine order, that there is a process. And I am so grateful. Neil knows how grateful I am for him. But these two people sitting here, I mean to tell you, Fern came into my life 30 years ago. And I didn't know she was going to be here today, and I really needed her. And it's just such a blessing and gratitude to have them. And I just want to just say that I truly, truly believe there is divine spirit. And I spoke to you about, and I'm just, thank you both. Thank you, Neil.
Another husband.
You know, I'm probably very grateful for my, I know I'm very grateful for my children, my grandchildren. My mom is still with us, but I'm most grateful for this woman sitting right next to me.
Okay, I'm not going to stand up, I don't guess. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my family, also my Unity family. It's been a boon to me in my personal growth, and I love it. I love this church. Also, I want to mention my son because he said, Mom, I've got your back. I thought that was so good.
I don't have an immediate family, but this has always been my family is right here, and I love it so because everybody is so loving and so giving, and I consider every one of you my family. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am so grateful for my health, and I am so grateful for my sister. She is my right hand. Without her, I would not be able to do all the things that I do today. And I'm also grateful for a friend like Marilyn. And of course, I'm grateful for Spirit that's made it all possible.
I'm Suzanne. I don't know if you know me, but I'm grateful for Unity. When I found it with my mother, and it was just what I needed, and I'm thankful for my children, my son and my two daughters, and I'm just grateful for life and living here. It's wonderful, and thank you for all of you being here. It's wonderful. Thank you.
I'm thankful for this place. Coming back here was amazing. I've said it before. I love all of you, and I'm delighted that I get to be a part of this place. And I'm grateful for my dad, who is the best dad ever, who takes care of me. And I'm just grateful that I have so many people around me that bring the best out of me and see the best in me and help me realize that. So thank you, all of you, and thank you to my family.
Well, I have to say I'm grateful for my little girl here, too, and her husband. We are very, very blessed, and my husband of 56 years. Yeah. And my family, and my grandkids, and my great grandkids, and we're a visitor, and we.
You like it here, though, don't you?
Thank you.
I am most grateful for the experience and feeling the presence of God in my life daily. That is the greatest blessing in my whole life, is when I can be still and know. And as I'm aging, I have more time for that, and I just realize it's just the greatest gift. There's so many other blessings in my life, too. My husband of 51 years, and right now I have a wonderful family, too, but my sister-in-law passed on Wednesday, and I'm so grateful for her life. She was 71 years old, and she went pretty quickly, but it brought us all so close together, and we were all together when she passed, and I just consider that a sacred and holy experience, as I cried so hard that my head I thought was going to break in two, and it hurt so bad, but all the grief and all the love and all the care all mixed together is what life is about, so that's what I'm most grateful for today, is her being in my life.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I'm grateful that even though I couldn't be here early, that no one seemed to mind that I came in late today. And that I always feel so welcome when I'm here. I just love being in this atmosphere. And I'm grateful that my mom is now in a nursing home. I've been taking care of her for quite a long time. Right now, we don't know really what's going to happen, but I've had so many prayers and people loving me around just the caretaking that I've been doing with my family. And I especially love the weekly call I get from the prayer ministers. I just love that. And I actually save the recordings and play them over. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I have another question to, or another thing to. I was worried that you might not share. <It's great. laughs> I'm so glad. I have this book, and it's called Spiritual Literacy, Reading the Sacred in Everyday Life. And as we think about gratitude, I came across this, and I thought it was moving. Kay Holler relates a daily ritual that her husband Steve initiated in their home, a ritual which seems small but is large with significance. Every evening since we've been married, Steve comes home from work and shouts from the front door, "The luckiest man in the world is home." "I've been hearing this for 2.5 years now," writes Kay, "and it still makes me feel good." So I thought I would ask you then, what family ritual do you appreciate?
This is making Lewis real nervous right now. My mother, too, is still with us, and she's 95 years old. And when your parent gets to that age, you know that things can change in an instant. And so you maybe take time to appreciate more. So my sister and I make sure that a couple of times a week we go up and we have lunch with mother. But the ritual, she started a few years ago just leaving her door unlocked. And she relies on her garage door to provide her with security. So when you come in the house now, plus the hearing's going, and she has a hearing aid, of course, but she won't use it because she saves the battery. Oh, well. So our little ritual when we come is to ring the doorbell, but so she knows that it's either Mary or myself, we have to go, "Yoo-hoo!" So Lewis has picked up on it. Now when he opens the door and comes in, it's "Yoo-hoo!"
Thank you, Vernetta, for being willing to do this.
I need the workout.
Okay. Well, you're getting it. My mom and my aunt both, they were kind of co-parents, you know, and they both passed away. They did their transition a couple of years ago, and my aunt more recently, and she was 97. So I've been through that. But one thing that I really like a ritual is that on Christmas Day, I don't do much for my daughter-in-law, Harley, through the year. But on Christmas Day, I take gifts for everybody and store gift cards and things. And then we play Rob Your Neighbor. And one year, I told Joseph, my grandson, I said, "I don't think I'm going to do Rob Your Neighbor this year." He said, "Oh, Grandma, you know, that's a tradition." So I go to the dollar store, I wrap all the presents. I think I spent $120 this week, dollar a piece, you know. And then at the end, when everybody, you know, you play Rob Your Neighbor, and then you have your stockpile of gifts, and then if you don't like what you've got, then you can switch around, you know. So we always have a good time. So I like Christmas Day. It's the one time that I can really feel like I do something for my granddaughter, because she holds lots of, like just last night we had Thanksgiving at her house. And so they're a wonderful couple, my son and his wife, and got three kids that are already grown up and everything, and I just love being with them on Christmas Day.
Hi, what I love about our family that we all get together for every holiday, and it makes my 85-year-old auntie just glorious. But her, she and my mother's the one that raised me, really. You know, actually, she raised everybody. But it's just about. But anyway, that's what we enjoy, being a close-knit family and doing things together.
And I like the Unity family ritual where every Thanksgiving we get together.
Yes.
So just a commercial plug. Come out if you're missing. I got that in, didn't I?
This isn't really a tradition or holiday-ish, but my daughter who just turned 18 this week, every time I drop her off somewhere, I always ask her what's the most important thing in the world, and she says,
I'm sorry. Sorry. She's not a little girl anymore, but she always says, I'm a child of God, and you love me.
Thank you. Well, I got more to think about. Okay, well, we have just finished a prosperity class, and we talked a lot about the flow and prosperity, and we talked about random acts of kindness. Kristen was kind enough to order some of those little smile cards. Like this, there's some down on the bulletin board, and what it says is, smile, you've just been tagged. Experiments in anonymous kindness is the name of the game, and now you're it. And on the back, it says, someone reached out to you with an anonymous act of kindness. Now it's your chance to do the same. Do something nice for someone, leave this card behind, and keep the spirit going. And I haven't been doing it as a 21-day practice like I asked the people who were taking the class for credit to do, but what it did was it kind of got me in a mindset of noticing, you know, the things, the nice things that are happening in my world and noticing the blessings. And I thought, what a wonderful way to approach life. You know, you're looking for the good. You're watching for good things to happen, you know. So what if we all did that? There's the couple who put this together, Frederick and Marianne, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Brissot, perhaps, shared something that they did. As a couple, we have a practice of counting moments of happiness. We got the idea from a quotation in May Sarton's Endgame, which we used in our first book, 100 Ways to Keep Your Soul Alive. Sarton suggests that it is wrong to expect that there will be a time of happiness in our lives. Rather, there are moments of happiness, and almost every day contains at least one moment of happiness. We have decided that marriage is like that. On our 25th wedding anniversary, we each wrote a list of moments of happiness we had shared. It took us most of the morning to write them and then read them back and forth to each other. We laughed to discover how many moments appeared on both lists. We have never separated our weekdays from the weekend, so we were not surprised that our memories came from both our work and our play. Counting our blessings that anniversary, we could see a long and steady stream of moments when being together has nourished our souls and given us a taste of the presence of God. And so for my question for you then is, thinking about just this immediate past, maybe the last few weeks, months, whatever, what moments of happiness have you noticed? And I've got one. This morning, I have a Keurig, and I put my cup under, made it normally, and even though it could be just a sign that I'm going to have to clean it soon. This morning, it delivered a completely full cup of coffee. The cups that I use are pretty big, so it fills it about 3/4 of the way, and that's normal. This morning, it was filled to the brim, and I was like, woohoo! That was my moment of happiness.
Yeah, I was just looking at the plant over there, and I was seeing the sunshine come in, the rays, beautiful rays of sunshine. So that makes me happy, the sunshine that occurs all the time.
Yeah.
Even on the coldest days.
I like early mornings. When I first wake up, sometimes it's 5:30, 6 o'clock or so, and I wake up and turn over, and the bed is nice and warm and cozy.
Yeah.
And I look out and peek out, and sometimes the sun is shining. But it's in those moments I realize that, wow, this is just a great moment.
I was just so happy recently with Neil when we were away for the weekend, and he had knee surgery two years ago, if Priscilla can relate, and he hiked 3 hours the first day and 2.5 hours the next day, and it was such a blessing, and it was such a happy moment. He was, it was wonderful.
I had a light fixture on my front, and it was pretty deplorable. And I wanted a green light put up, and so I needed a new fixture. And the fixture started yesterday morning around 7, and my brother and I completed it last evening about, I guess it must have been about 7 or 8, and you know it was cold, right? I was so happy that green light came on, and it was a process, and I won't go through all of that, but we got it done, and I'm happy.
Charlie and I love nature. Most of you know that, and we have a wonderful backyard that is pretty private, and we feed the birds a lot, have several feeders, so we always enjoy watching them, and chase the squirrels away so they don't get all the food. Well, this week I was looking out, and a mink went through our yard. Now, I had never seen one except in a zoo, so it's like, what is that? I kept looking at it, and it was walking by, and I said to Charlie, come quick, you got to see this, and we get the binoculars, and we're looking at it, and he goes, well, it's either a weasel or a mink, I think. So we got out our book to check after we studied it go by, and it was a mink. And it was the most beautiful animal. It does look like a mink coat. I mean, it has this beautiful dark brown black fur, and the sun was shining on it. It was just so, you know, sleek and shiny. It was like, oh, look at that go by. Come back, you know. It didn't come back, but we were just blessed that at that moment that we looked out at the right time, because it could have just gone by, and maybe it's gone through before. Because when we looked up how they live, and that they do live near creeks, and that we have one right down the street from us. So they fish, and I didn't know that either. But so we learned something at the same time, but just really appreciated that. I mean, the whole afternoon, a mink in our yard.
I have to give a little background before. Several years ago, before my mother, she lived with me, and she had cancer, and it was a very painful cancer. And anyway, I kept trying to think of things to do that would kind of deflect the emphasis on the pain. And I had illustrated a music book for a lady here in town, and it was a children's book, and she would give me the story, and then I would illustrate it with her words, and then I would make it so that it was almost like a coloring book. If the children wanted to color it in, they could, if they wanted to take the pages out. Well, one of the stories was, there's a snake in the lake. Well, the lady, when she came to me, knew I was terrified of snakes, and she said, I don't know whether you're going to want to do this or not, but... So I did, and I made this little happy snake with a big smile. And anyway, so I took the commercial that meow, 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 meow,
yes.
meow. Well, yeah. I'd say, Mother, when the nurse comes over, what do you all do? And she said, too much talk. And I said, well, maybe we ought to just put something together like blah, 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 blah. And so we'd take hands. I'd say, are you hurting? She'd say, yeah, pretty bad. And I said, well, let's do blah. So we'd do blah. And I'd say, do you think we ought to do it again? And she'd say, I believe we'd better. It didn't do enough this time, so we'd do it again. And then she'd say, okay, what about snake and lake? And I said, oh, yes, we got to do snake and lake. So we'd take hands, and I'd say, okay, ready? There's a snake in the lake, and it makes me shake. It makes me rumble and a rundle and a run, run, run. And she loved that. And we used to do it over and over and over, two or three times during the day. And it was always such a joy to see her go from pain level to happiness.
Beautiful. Okay, well, let's hear what Charles Fillmore says, how he defines gratitude. In Revealing Word, Charles co-founder of Unity, and Revealing Word is sort of like the metaphysical dictionary for certain words. So gratitude, he wrote, gratitude and thanksgiving are both necessary in demonstrating prosperity through divine law. Be grateful to God and thankful to the friends whom he uses to supply you. All metaphysicians have found by experience that being thankful for what they have increases the inflow. Gratitude is a great mind magnet. When it is expressed from the spiritual standpoint, it is powerfully augmented. The saying of grace at the table has its origin in this idea of the power of increase through giving thanks. So with that in mind, I think that, you know, it kind of brings us back to this this notion of source, of God. And then the last thing I wanted to share with you is from Maya Angelou, who was Unity. And she writes, one day the teacher, Frederick Wilkerson, asked me to read to him. I was 24, very worldly. He asked that I read from Lessons in Truth, a section which ended with these words, God loves me. I read the piece and closed the book, and the teacher said, read it again. I pointedly opened the book. Can't you just see it? And I sarcastically read, God loves me. He said, again. After about the seventh repetition, I began to sense that there might be truth in the statement, that there was a possibility that God really did love me. Me. Maya Angelou. I suddenly began to cry at the grandness of it all. I knew that if God loved me, then I could do wonderful things. I could try great things. I could learn anything, achieve anything. For what could stand against me with God, since one person, any person, with God, constitutes the majority? I think it's beautiful. So we've been focusing on gratitude. We've been focusing on looking for the blessings. We know that it ties into prosperity because what we give, we receive more of. Perhaps just before this Thanksgiving, this awareness of what she says is the very best. Let me reread that one sentence. I think it's so powerful. I knew that if God loved me, then I could do wonderful things. I could try great things, learn anything, achieve anything. All is possible for us with God. We already know this in Unity. This isn't something brand new for us. We learn it. We teach it. The truth with a capital T. We know that we have been created by our Creator in that image and likeness, which means that we are created as love. We are created as peace. We are created as joy. And this Thanksgiving, I think that we can then remember that we are at one with that Creator, that source, and that is our true nature. And as we express that in our world, then more comes back to us, and we are truly grateful. Let's take a few moments now to practice the presence as we do each week. So I invite you to become settled in your chair, in your seat. If you haven't already, you might close your outer eyes and consciously relax. Consciously scan your body for any tightness, any discomfort. Bring your awareness to that place and purposely relax. We allow our chairs to fully support us. And we bring our attention to our breath, to our breathing. It helps us to not only still our bodies, but to still our minds, because our minds want to keep busy, to be thinking all the time. So we put our attention and our awareness on the breath. We notice the breath as it comes in and as it goes out. How we feel as that happens. As we have our attention on breathing, let us now slow that breath, deepen it. So we breathe in fully and release, exhale. And we can almost feel even more tension, tightness, busyness melt away. It is when we are able to become still that we are open and receptive. And this morning we focus on thanksgiving, giving thanks. We focus on that loving, grateful feeling that we have when we consider our Creator, when we consider all the good that is in our lives. We have been thinking and talking about all of the things that we are grateful for, our families, our loved ones, the rituals that we do, the ways that we express happiness. And as we focus on that gratefulness, as the lady sang about, we can feel our bodies reacting with joy. Gratitude is a feeling just on its own. Yes, we are grateful for this and for this, but gratitude comes from within. And when we put attention on it like we are today, it magnifies, it intensifies, it grows and expands. And so we do, as we do each week, we take some time in stillness, in silence, to just to be. And today we focus on being grateful in the silence. And we are blessed. We are blessed by the loving people that are in our lives. we are blessed by this community that comes together and shares and grows and laughs and loves. We are grateful for the awareness that our Creator loves us beyond measure and wants only good for us. So in that awareness and in that gratitude, we come together to pray the words that our Master Teacher, Jesus Christ, taught, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.